Hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for joining me in Bible study today. Today we're going to pick up with Acts chapter 8, verse 26, where we left off in the previous podcast. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand what we're about to read. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the 8th chapter of Acts. It's very exciting, in some places puzzling, but we know it's your word, and so we pray you'd help us to be teachable, help us to have open hearts, open minds to you, and to be able to think biblically and clearly and be able to absorb what truth you're giving us here, to be able to get it internalized and to be able to get your word into our lives so that we think biblically and live biblically and act biblically and share it with others as you give us opportunity. So please, would you be our teacher? Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us to be more faithful witnesses and tools in your hands in a lost and dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philip has had the privilege to be used of God to bring about a spiritual awakening in Samaria. It has to be an exciting time there in Samaria. And then verse 26 happens. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now this is a desert place. So God chose to let an angel be a part of this adventure. I imagine God's angels are always excited to get to participate in what's going on between God and men. It's probably an exciting moment when God says, "Hey, you," and tells an angel, "I want you to go do something." And the angel gets to take part in this. This could have been a little tough for Philip. We're certainly not told that. I'm just speculating now. But we could imagine Philip saying, "Wow, do I have to? I mean, I'm having a lot of success here in Samaria. This is pretty exciting stuff. Many people are coming to the Lord. Why can't I just stay here?" No, that's not his attitude. We see nothing of that in Scripture. He just obeys. He just does what God said to do through the angel. Verse 27, "And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace or Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah." So apparently this man is pretty important down in Ethiopia. He's kind of equivalent to our Secretary of the Treasury, so he sounds pretty powerful. And God is about to use him to take the gospel to Africa. Remember, uttermost parts of the earth. A little later in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, when we learn about Cornelius, we learn that even though he was a Gentile, he was what they called a God-fearer. Sometimes Gentiles became convinced that the Jewish God, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, was the true God. And some of them became proselyte Jews, but many of them stayed Gentiles, but they were called God-fearers, because they wanted to learn as much about the true God as they could. So they'd go to synagogues and study Old Testament scriptures if they had a chance. They were not Jews, but they recognized the true God. And it sounds like this is the kind of man that this man was, the Ethiopian eunuch. Sounds like he was a God-fearer like Cornelius. He'd come a long way. Ethiopia's down south of Egypt. So he'd come maybe 600 miles to Jerusalem to worship. That's a long way in those days. So he's pretty serious, it seems to me, about learning as much as he can about God. And while he's there, he evidently purchases an Isaiah scroll. That wouldn't have been cheap, but he's in charge of the treasury at Ethiopia, so I guess he can afford it. But purchasing the Isaiah scroll means he's spiritually hungry. He wants to learn about God. He recognizes a little bit about the true God. He knows he's the creator. He knows the Old Testament tells truth about God. So he's studying Isaiah. So what we learn from that is that the Holy Spirit is already working in him, preparing him for this amazing visit with Philip. Verse 29, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran." Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Now, this is an incredible, beautiful illustration of God's perfect timing. What if Philip hadn't run? What if he'd just kind of moseyed on over? What if he'd just kind of walked along with him for a while before introducing himself? The Spirit nudged Philip to run. And let's see where this man was. He's reading out loud. He hears him reading Isaiah the prophet. So in verse 31, he said, "How can I unless someone guides me? I don't understand what I'm reading. I need somebody to help me understand it." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." Isn't that incredible? The eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" And Philip must have thought, wow, I can just see him looking up to God. Wow, God, what timing you have. He's right in the middle of the greatest chapter in the Bible on the substitutionary atonement of Christ. I may have shared with you before how I had a friend many, many years ago in Florida who was a converted Jew, became a Christian. And he was converted when a believer, a friend of his, a Christian believer, read some passages, including this one, and said, "George, who do you think I'm reading about?" And George said, "Well, you're reading about Jesus, of course." And his Christian friend said, "Well, George, guess where I'm reading from?" And George said, "Well, somewhere in the New Testament, I guess." And his friend showed him that he was reading from Isaiah. And George was flabbergasted, and it eventually led to his conversion to Christ. So here's this eunuch from Ethiopia heading back from Jerusalem. He's purchased an Isaiah scroll. He's riding back to Ethiopia, and he's been reading through the book of Isaiah. Fairly big scroll. And he gets to chapter 53, what we call chapter 53, and he's just been reading these words. Now, I'm going to read what he's just been reading. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He's just read that, and when Philip gets up, he hears him reading the next verse. "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." This is incredibly exciting. That's the very passage the eunuch has been reading when God engineered things perfectly for Philip to show up in the middle of this desert road. It's amazing. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself as Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Well, maybe one thing we can learn from this account, and it's a marvelous, beautiful, exciting account, is that obviously, even though we ought to be always sharing Christ with others at every opportunity, every time we recognize an opportunity to talk to people about Christ, we ought to do it. But in addition to that, I think we need to be really tuned in and alert for special promptings of the Spirit. I just believe there are times, and many of you will be able to identify with this, when you just sense a special urging within, a nudging, a prompting, to talk to somebody about Jesus. And at the moment, you may feel like, well, this is not exactly a convenient time, or, well, I don't know. We probably wouldn't have done it unless we'd been nudged a little bit by the Holy Spirit. And it's hard for me to believe that a decision to talk to someone about Jesus could ever be a wrong decision, but we'll talk ourselves out of it a lot. I'm sure you can identify with this. Now, some of you who've listened to some of the other studies we've done may think I'm contradicting some things I've said before, because I've said quite often we need to be careful about the danger of trying to get a word from the Lord. And I'm thinking primarily about people who just kind of want to empty their minds and just listen to God and get some kind of direction from God. I do think there's some serious danger in that. We can make decisions on the basis of what we may perceive as promptings that aren't necessarily good decisions. I think we ought to test those promptings with Scripture, with good biblically informed thinking, with good biblical counsel from godly counselors. God gives us all these instructions in His Word. If we want to have wisdom to make good decisions, He says, here's how you have it. And I think it's dangerous for us to short-circuit God's instructions for getting wisdom by just saying, well, instead of reading the Bible, instead of studying the Bible, instead of getting godly counsel, instead of thinking hard about this, I'm just going to try to open my mind and see what prompting comes to my mind. I think that's dangerous. Having said that, I do not say it's wrong to listen to promptings from God. I think God does prompt us to do things. Of course, we need to test the promptings, make sure they're from God, not from some imagination of our own or some demonic deception of some kind. But I'm sure you'll agree with me, I don't think there are going to be very many times when we could go wrong by following a prompting to talk to someone about Jesus. I mean, you just can't imagine many times when that would be inappropriate. So listen for those promptings. Be prepared for those promptings. Don't be surprised when you get a nudge to talk to somebody about Jesus. Now, of course, what God did with Philip involved some seriously supernatural stuff. There was an angel involved here, and he was caught away to Azotus. By the way, Azotus is the Greek name of a city that we often think of as Ashdod. In the Old Testament, it's called Ashdod. We read about that in the Bible. About 30 miles north of Gaza. Some say that the Greek here does not really require a miracle. It says when the Spirit carried him away, it could simply mean the Spirit led him away to Azotus 30 miles down the road. But to me, the words here sound to me like a miraculous removal. The Spirit carried him away. The eunuch saw him no more. Sounds like he just disappeared from the eunuch's sight. And then the words that Philip found himself at Azotus, that just sounds supernatural to me. We may never find ourselves being carried away supernaturally to some other physical location. But listen, every time we're prompted to talk to someone else about Jesus, and every time they experience conviction, the Holy Spirit has to do that. We can't do it. Every time they experience conviction, and maybe even experience repentance and faith and salvation, that's an act of the Holy Spirit. And it's just as powerful, just as real, just as supernatural as what Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch experienced. And what we need to do, I think, is just pray that with God's grace and our willingness, we get to experience that power more and more in these very dark days we're living in. So why don't we just do that now? Father, thank you for this account that you've given us in Acts chapter 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Lord, I'm sure everybody that's listening to me is very familiar with this account. They've read it before. They've studied it before. But it's exciting. Every time we get back into it, Lord, it's exciting. And we thank you for putting it in your word. And Lord, we thank you that just as Philip was involved as an instrument in your hands to share the gospel with this man, so can we. So would you help us, Lord, to be sensitive to opportunities, more sensitive than we've been in the past, less likely to make excuses that maybe it's not a good time and to avoid talking to someone about Jesus. Lord, it doesn't make any sense to us. You're our best friend. You've done more for us than anybody could imagine. Lord, you've blessed us so much. You've given us eternal life. You've forgiven our sins. You've put us into your family. And you've given us the opportunity to share that with others. And yet, Lord, we prejudge those situations and we decide that people probably don't want to hear, or they probably heard it before and they're not going to receive it. And yet, Lord, we know that often you're preparing hearts, even in people who have heard the message over and over again, so that when we get to share it, we'll get to watch them trust Jesus. And Lord, how sad it is when we let something cheat us out of that. So would you help us to be more faithful to share the good news? And Lord, help us not to be disappointed if we don't get to reap. We thank you for the privilege of sowing seed and watering and hoeing a little bit and just maybe doing a little weeding. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we get to be involved in other people's lives to represent Jesus. We want you to empower us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and use us. And we want you to use your Holy Spirit to convict and to grant repentance and faith to those we talk with. And we'll give you all the praise and glory because you are the one who has to do it. We know it's not us, it's you. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.